Let's turn now to Proverbs chapter 15. As we continue working our way through Proverbs. And we are beginning this morning at verse 21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Now, I was so impressed with that which we read this morning out of Psalm 119:97. If you'll turn back there, this was not part of what I'm going to say today, but it is so powerful, especially in relationship to our verse that we're looking at in Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. And Proverbs 119:97, the psalmist states, O how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Not only is this a commentary upon the law of God that we read this morning, but it's a commentary upon what we're looking at from Proverbs 15:21. Now, Mr. Bridges, using Bridges primarily for this study, he starts off by looking at this verse with a very interesting statement, and that is that as we study the book of Proverbs, it probes our profession. As we study the book of Proverbs, it probes our profession. So as we read through the Proverbs, it does just that. It would cause us to think about our profession, the profession of faith which we may make. It causes us to think more deeply. What do we think of folly? And make no mistake, folly here is sin. This folly is sin. So this verse might be read, sin is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. The fool is not merely content with saying or doing a foolish thing. He has to laugh about it. He has to brag about it. And all too often he receives an applause for his sinning, for what he is involved in his evil doings. And what does that do but just further encourage him into his sin deeper and deeper? So it's not just about saying or doing a sinful act, but laughing about it and bragging about it. While the man of understanding is content to forgo that momentary laugh and will go on his way, and as John Gill states, ever to forsake the way we know to be right, even in a momentary laughter, brings its after sting. So, we need to think very hard and very deeply about our profession, about our understanding, if we have understanding, and about sin and what sin brings about and what sin brought about to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, not only does the ungodly practice sin, it is a joy to him. The ungodly sins without temptation or without any motive. They just sin. It's their nature to do so. They don't have to be tempted into it. They don't have to have a motive to do it. They actually cannot sleep without it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 4, 14 through 18. 19, rather. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So here again in the Proverbs we have the contrast. We have the contrast with the with the ungodly, and we have the contrast contrasted with the godly, the righteous. But we are told here not to enter into that path. Not even to step foot upon the path that the ungodly would take. Go not, enter not, go not, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Every indication here is a caution about this way of sin. Don't get near it. So says the Word of God. And Bridges says, how often do the fellowship with the wicked loosen the fast hold of instruction? Even the fellowship with the ungodly has that tendency to, you have that firm grip of the Word of God and that firm grip of the truth of God. Well, fellowship with the wicked tends to loosen that firm grip upon the truth and upon instruction. And it causes that instruction to lessen and lessen and lessen. The path of the ungodly is so contrary to the way of instruction that the very entrance into it is forsaking the way of God. Don't even get near it. Don't touch it. It is a plague. Stay away from it. And stay away from that path. That path that is contrary to wisdom and instruction and to the righteousness of God. And Bridges paints a very vivid picture here about the light-hearted, sinful, unconverted young person that draws into his fellowship, the fellowship of the one that professes to be a Christian. He says it is as one would turn his head to the side, and the ungodly would pour evil into the ear of the godly. Do you get that picture? It's very clear. As the ungodly would pour in their filthy conversation or filthy images of a filthy lifestyle, that's the picture here of the ungodly with the godly. He says that young people will make a plea, and they will plea, what harm is there in this or that path that I would take? What's the harm here? And Bridges says that it's a contagious atmosphere. That's the harm. It is a contagious atmosphere. It is something that a few weeks ago, the example, Irma Maxwell wasn't feeling well on a Wednesday evening and was getting over a cold and I believe a sore throat. And when I went up to shake her hand and greet her, she said, No, I don't want to give you what I've got and what I've had. That's contagious. You don't want anything to do with that because you don't want what they've got. So in relationship to the ungodly, if we could see clearly in this same picture, if we could see that the ungodly has a contagious disease that they are spreading even by their fellowship, even by being in the same room. You don't want to be in a room with a person that has a cold and a runny nose and is coughing and spitting and sputtering. You don't want to be in that confined space. And why is it? Because you know that you're going to get it. You know that you're going to get those germs that is going to somehow rub off on you. But yet how quickly we will be with those of the unconverted and the ungodly to actually see what they're involved in and to see it as being something that it isn't. We'll see it as something that is good and we'll want to partake of it. It's like saying, I want to be in that room with that person that has that cold and I want to get right up next to them and have that fellowship. It would be absurd to think something like that. But Bridges says that's the harm of going onto that path, because it is a contagious atmosphere. You put yourself voluntarily in that contagious atmosphere. He says that the entrance is fatally connected with the next step onward. So what does that mean? It means that that you bring yourself into that contagious atmosphere, and that merely by doing that, it is the entrance that can be fatally connected with the next step and the next step and the next step that will follow. But all the time we think that there's no problem here. I'm much stronger than this. I'm so well instructed in the Word of God. This does not just apply to young people. This applies to every one of us of our age. Paul stated this morning that age is not a factor. It's not a factor in our death, and it's not a factor in our sinning. Because one gets older, we don't get some free pass regarding falling into sin. We have to be just as watchful as the young person. To pretend to dread sin without fearing the temptation, that is nothing more than self-delusion. In other words, if you're just pretending to dread sin, but yet you don't fear the temptation, You're deceiving yourself. Bridges says that Satan has two nearly allied temptation and sin for us to separate them. We shouldn't separate them. We shouldn't say, well, this is the sin, but this is only the temptation. And I'm really not involved in the sin. I'm only involved in the temptation. And Bridges says that Satan has brought these two so closely, they're so closely allied, that it is a danger for us to separate them. And he says that and this is well worth writing down. The evil company is loved, and then the evil of company is loved. So pretty soon we begin to enjoy the evil company, and we begin to enjoy and we begin to love having that fellowship with the ungodly. And before long, it's no longer that fellowship with the ungodly that we love, but it's the evil that we begin to love. Augustine says of his own childhood theft, he says, by myself alone I would not have done it. It was the company that I loved with whom I did it. When they said, come, let's go and do it, I was ashamed not to be as shameless as they were. So Augustine says that because in relationship to stealing in his own childhood, he said he wouldn't have done it but for those whom he was keeping company with. And he loved that company. And when they said, let's go and do it, he was ashamed that he wasn't as shameless about it as they were. With a constitution that is prone to evil, when the alternative is whether we shall sin or dare the danger, can we doubt our path? The whole of Scripture is on the side of caution, to hazard nothing. The Scripture warns us at every turn, cautions us to beware. Proverbs 15:14. Just up a few verses. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Proverbs 9:13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Fleshly lusts are in open opposition to divine wisdom. So fearfully do sinful pleasures darken the understanding. These sinful, sensual pleasures have the ability within them to darken your understanding and to cause you and to cause that understanding to go right out the window. Do we say in our heart, cannot some stolen water, some secret indulgences be allowed? There is no such thing as a secret sin. All sin is naked and open as high noon outside before the eye of God. There is no secret sin. And yet, those sinful and sensual pleasures will actually darken your understanding and cause you to think that you're getting away with something that no one knows about, that no one is aware of, that it is really a secret sin, when it is not, and there is no such thing as a secret sin, no matter how big, how great, or how small. The strength of this temptation is, do you know what it is? It is that it is forbidden. That they are forbidden pleasures. Restraint provokes the dormant power of sin. Just as children will do that which they're forbidden to do. Because it's forbidden. Because the devil is all in the temptation, the devil is only always going to show you the pleasure and the sparkling side of what it is that you're looking at. He's never going to reveal the backside. But the blinded fool hath willingly closed his eyes. Otherwise he would know, as our verse states here in 18, that he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. We need to remember that every little listening to the enticements of sin is like a welder that is welding another link in the chain that is binding you in your sin. And the devil rejoices in that. He's your enemy. And he's cheating you. And he seeks to rob you of your eternal happiness. And this all has to do with the ungodly not even being able to sleep without tempting the godly. It's not even attempting to the ungodly. The ungodly with the ungodly, they're going to rush right into it. It's not even a problem for them. Because they do not have the restraint of the Word of God. But the godly, that picture has to be painted so attractive to him that it can't be resisted. It is a contagious atmosphere when we begin to fellowship with the ungodly. You can rest assured that it's contagious, and it will show itself in your behavior. It will show itself in your behavior and will not be able to be hid from your parents. If you're a young person, it will not be able to be disguised to your spouse if you're married. It will not be able to be disguised even in the church, because the Lord will eventually reveal those things that you think are so hidden and so kept to just you and yourself. You don't want anything to do with that contagious atmosphere. And you must remember that the entrance, or stepping onto that path, stepping onto that path of the ungodly, it's the entrance. It is the beginning that is connected to the next step, and to the next step, and to the next step. Because you make that first step on there, and then you step further on, and further on, and deeper, and deeper, and deeper you go. All because of that first entrance. What are we told in the Word of God? Submit. Submit ourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, this folly of the ungodly, this sin, it is sin. It is not something that is pleasant to the eye. It is something that is horrible. It is as a disease. It is as a leprous disease that is putrid and smells horrible to the touch, painful. Lord, this is what our enemy, our adversary, the devil, never shows in tempting us to sin. It is always that we might be in some way profiting, some way better off than what we are now, some pleasure granted to us that seemingly was withheld from us before. Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes and ears to see and to hear, as we ought to see and hear, the Word of God. Open our hearts, O Lord, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.